Hotel can be aboard.
Welcome to the Points Order Podcast, or is this now More Dots, More Lines?
We are, in fact, changing the name of the podcast. We're a brand new world going on right here.
Live from Trashcan Lounge in Majuro.
Majuro, yeah, Trashcan Lounge.
I believe the new name is Dots, Lines, and Destinations.
Dots, Lines, and Destinations,
yeah.
And we're going to be revenue bait, so...
Look for the credit card office tomorrow.
Each podcast listener will earn, you know, a certain point per minute listened, and we will allow you to redeem it at a later point in time with an undetermined reward chart.
We will publish half the chart first.
Of course. I mean, we can't publish the whole chart, otherwise everybody would know what's going on, and then they wouldn't listen to the next time around and have something to complain about.
So where are we right now? We're in Majuro.
Majuro in the Marshall Islands. We're in this tiny little hut, literally standing on top of a garbage can. It's vaguely quiet over here in the corner.
After about a 5 hour and 40 minutes flight.
Four forty.
We got an hour early.
Yeah, we got it. Well, yeah, but no, there was a bit of a delay out of Honolulu this morning. We are just across the date line, so a 4 hour flight. We're now 22 hours later than it used to be. And we're in Majuro Marshall Islands. The first hop of the island hopper is done.
Yep.
The longest of the hops.
Coming off the plane, it was about as hot as Houston, and my camera fogged up.
It wasn't that hot. No, I mean, I'm sure that was what Houston is like. It's probably like Houston is...
It is.
Or mid spring. That isn't even really peak summer, I don't think.
No.
Nice humidity, but it was, I mean, the views coming in, all of a sudden, you know, 4.5 hours, or 4 hours of nothing, some clouds, some water, and then all of a sudden, this atoll just peeks through the water, and it's a 65-mile-long sort of hook of sand.
And that was on the left side of the aircraft. You
mostly on the left side. When we loop, it finishes on the right, and then you loop around. But definitely, it was a left side kind of view.
Yeah.
Today.
And we had a detailed description by the two other pilots. They gave us all rundown.
That was pretty cool. So this flight, because it's so long, has extra pilots staffed on it. It's a 14-hour-ish trip. They actually fly two pilots spares with them during the trip, and overstaff the flight attendants as well to make it serviceable. And we sat with. You know, basically chatting with the off-duty flight attendants who are going to now run the next five hops through for us. Getting history of the islands, history of the region, sort of their favorite places to go diving, their favorite places to go eating, just all sorts of crazy things and just some awesome tips and pointers, what to look for as they go out. Everything goes to plan. We should actually get a decent tour on departure. They're actually excited that there are people who care about this being the island hopper. They've threatened a couple of times to, you know, well, we can just level off at 2,000 feet and do a couple of loops so everybody gets good views out of the window. So
I'm done with that.
I really hope that works. I'm marginally disappointed that my upgrade came through because I'm now on an aisle seat instead of a window. I got to figure out how to fix that. But
upgrade the person in 7A?
Is that you?
No.
It's like a cool window seat, aisle seat anyway, aren't you?
Aisle
seat. Yeah, so I can't trade with you.
No.
I'll try that out the window, but anyway, so, yeah.
I have a window seat that might be able to accommodate for the takeoff.
Oh, yeah?
For the more seasoned journalist.
Better shill, is that what you're trying to say?
No, you're actually officially a journalist.
That's good. But,
As a producer, I would have to give up that seat if I wanted to show it.
Make
images.
Show go on. Right?
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see what we can do there.
I say though, as we board this flight, I think the crown has to go.
I've been wearing a Burger King crown since Honolulu this morning. I do feel a bit like an idiot doing so.
It may be time.
Time? We're standing at a garbage can, gentlemen. The crown is gone.
We're throwing it out.
I can't burn it, Stephen. We're at an airport. You think that would get away with lighting live open fire here? Come on.
Or we would open up again.
Yeah. Are you next on the upgrade list?
I am.
Is that what it is? Jerk. Awesome. Any other impressions? I mean, did you guys take a nap on the flight? I did.
I couldn't fall asleep.
Sorry to hear that.
We got shushed by the lady in the window seat. That was fun.
Nice.
So.
She offered. She continuing.
No, she continuing on. Real pleasant human being.
I thought I had 21A at some point.
I hope so.
I have to check my boarding pass.
She has the middle seat.
Oh, that'd be great. I could elbow her. You could elbow her. We'd have a lot of fun with that. Anyway. I'm 20A. I'd say I'd recline into it, but that's a non-reclining exit row.
Yeah.
Oops.
Okay. I think that's good. So
where's our next stop?
Next flight is to Kwajalein.
Where we're not getting off.
We are not getting off the plane at Kwajalein.
Have to speak on the plane?
That's a military installation. We will not be getting off the plane there.
The guy I'm sitting next to is actually stationed there, so it's an interesting discussion about what goes on there and what he does.
And I'm sure you're not allowed to talk about it.
Classified.
Yeah. Well, no, not classified.
Yeah. What they
he
do.
He's in Florida. University of Florida instructor, I think.
Oh, yeah, the guy.
There's some rules, and they actually had a couple of mechanicals there where the planes ended the flight, and people get sequestered into a little lounge so they can fly a little. They can fly a plane back. Like in this little lounge, like Izzy said, and they stay there for the day. So they get a plane in.
Nice. Well, let's. Hope that doesn't happen. Yeah.
You don't hear from us, it's because we're sequestered in the installation bunker.
Would it never make it out though?
No, this wouldn't make it out. If we get sequestered, then no one ever.
You're not listening to this. If you're hearing this, that means we got out.
Like, what is this recorder?
Yeah. I'd say I have a race for them, but I actually have no idea how to erase on this thing, so that's gonna be an added bonus. Alrighty. That's stop number one.
Stop number one. That's probably longer than we should have talked about stop number one.
I don't know. Pretty good introduction. Yeah. Did we mention the better part that we were on the Island Hopper?
No. Did we mention that last show?
We mentioned last show. We were bullying you into it. Yeah.
We were going here.
Yeah, you're
here.
Yeah.
And you got your Ramola and Dutch.
I did. I don't have anywhere to put it, but I have it.
You have it. Ship it home.
Just offered it.
Ship it back. Anyway. Alrighty, guys. Well, catch up with you in the next stop.
Sounds good.
Where are we?
Welcome to the
undisclosed
location in the middle of the Pacific.
Emergency landing. KWA.
KWA. This is Kwajalein. It's an Army garrison.
Missile base.
Radar station.
It's also a missile base.
ICBM. Air quotes. Okay. Well, Stephen was talking to a contractor here, and I'm sure he disclosed all sorts of sensitive information.
I just watched the Fifth Estate again.
Redacted.
We're going to have to do that.
Thank you. So that was one of the more interesting flights I've ever had.
Took the emergency landing, and now we are delayed.
Did you get briefed specially in the answer room?
Yes, we were told to how to brace, how to open the doors, how to block the aisle to keep people from interfering with the person opening the doors.
So they had one blocked and one open?
Yeah, the lady in the window was supposed to open, I'm supposed to block the aisle, and then I'm supposed to go out and help people down the slot.
Todd and I were in charge of the one LNR.
Okay.
In case
they were incapacitated.
Exactly.
Nice. And similar training with who's blocking, who was...
I think I was the more senior locker
that I drew down first. He was responsible for opening the door.
Leaving behind.
You look a little more like a linebacker.
He picked it.
Okay.
Wasn't my choice.
We were
Ron?
Yeah.
Okay. Our good friend Ron?
We were
very good friends by the end of this trip.
By the way, if we missed the connection in Guam, he's invited us out to karaoke.
In Guam?
We missed the connection.
I know, that's what I said. Sorry, I would much rather go sing karaoke with those guys.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think that was, the views, again, this was really nice. We got a very low, very slow departure out of Majuro. I think the pilots are really excited that there's people who are excited about being here.
Although now we may not be. That might have been it.
Couldn't retract the flaps left out too long. I don't know. We did have a bit of some great views of the atolls coming out. And then a very fast, very high landing into Kwajalein here because of the flaps.
With about 30 feet of runway left.
Yeah, we did use the entire thing. We'll have to go back and check how long this runway is.
There's also not much after the runway. I mean, it's water. Like, if the runway ends
in water, so were you looking out the window going,
I timed it. I saw how much time I had.
So that was interesting. Obviously, we're not allowed off the plane here. No taking photos. The guy next to me was taking photos even after told not to. That was pretty awkward. But, yeah, so it was a normal flight right up until the landing part.
Well, it all started with what's his name, Sherman?
Yeah.
He went up to the front.
The mechanic.
And, the mechanic. And he got on the phone. Sherman is the mechanic on board who travels with us.
Yeah.
Starting from Majuro, I think.
Yeah, he goes from between Guam and Majuro and back. And so he came on board for the second segment and was flying with us.
And he got on the phone and then it got interesting because we were like, uh-oh.
Yeah. So the thing is, it's something about an indicator light, something about flaps. You know, some big pilots, the spare pilots were looking out the windows, he was looking out the windows, and then all of a sudden the cart comes out in the galley and he's going up to the cockpit. So Sherman went up to the cockpit to talk to the pilots for a little bit, and then the announcement was made that we were going to have an emergency landing. So first time I've ever had that on the comm. They gave us the briefing of, you know, what the brace position is again and all those things, you know, double check where the exits are. It's sort of interesting to me, you know, obviously the flight attendants mostly take their safety briefing seriously anyways, but they were very serious about it this time around, like making sure people were reading the safety cards, making sure people were paying attention.
Which is good.
Yeah, of course. But it makes me wonder about the rest of the time a little bit.
A little nervous.
No, like it's, you know, I think I'm comfortable with it. I think most people are okay with it, but it was interesting.
Yeah, they were definitely very stressed though.
Yeah. That's what they get paid for.
Yeah.
And this is senior enough crew that they're getting paid reasonably well for it, I would imagine. So, anyway.
So the pilot's what it was. When we ever get out of here.
Better just talk to pilots if we don't get out of here, don't we?
He said we would be on a boat. By sunset, we have to be on a boat out of here.
Yeah, so that's one of the interesting things about Kwajalein. If we get... No one is allowed to stay on the island overnight if you're not a contractor or an army employee. And so the way they get around that is there's a separate island a little ways away that has a ferry to and from, and there's a little hotel over there and some other things that they can put people up at overnight if they have to. But that would be
even
quite
better.
Yeah, I don't know about better, but there's no karaoke there, so.
There's no internet either.
That's actually an interesting point. Weren't you saying, Stephen, that there's no cell phone service
No
here?
Cell phone service. So it's all landlines. It is... He even said there's no Wi-Fi. It's all hotspots that are, like, localized in certain areas on the island, so...
Tele?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's try not to get stuck here.
Isn't that one of our entitlements as a 1K at Telex?
Oh, I would so send that. We just send a Princess Scott's office.
Stop. Send help.
SOS.
Wouldn't you need to know his telex address? Where does it go to a general number?
No, the way I was actually told this one, the way the telex system works now for them is you can basically send a printout to any printer in the United system, and it could be a kiosk, it could be a ticket agent, anything like that, and also with any back office printer. So if we knew like his floor number in Cube
network,
or whatever,
his network
location, we could send a printout to an internal employees that way also. Anyway.
I think that's enough for this episode.
We'll hopefully have a next episode.
I'll leave you guys in your first class seat, and I'll go back to my 21C.
We were concerned of how mad you were during the whole, oh my god, we have an emergency landing, and I didn't want to be on this trip.
I'm a little mad now.
Hey, listen, Sherman, solid new mechanic. He's our man. He's on the case.
Look at the bright side. You may get your money back as well.
We get to Guam too late. I'm just going to pound the semi through Narita.
Yeah. Debating.
I'll go back to Narita.
Look, he's in space right now.
I wish we had that.
If we were recording this on video,
we'd all be arrested right now.
They'll be like, sir, we can see you back on the island hopper.
Absolutely not.
In 3 days.
In 3 days.
Nice. Alrighty, we'll catch up with y'all again at the next stop. Okay, well, it's recording, so shut up, Rolla.
this seemed like a good idea at the time.
It did.
The island hopper, or?
All of it.
All of it. So,
we were wrong.
This is now segment 3, I believe, of our island hopper.
And I don't think we're going to record anymore after this.
Yeah.
We've made it, what?
We have moved the entirety of maybe a quarter mile since segment 2 was recorded.
Tell my wife I love her.
It's 15 hours since we left Honolulu.
And we're only on the second place. So
yeah,
we're still in Kwajalein.
If anybody's watched Lost,
this is how it started.
I think this is how it started. And actually, well,
and ended.
Shouldn't be talking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What?
No, it's been, the plane didn't actually crash. I mean, we've got that going for us.
Yeah, but with the event today.
Okay, I'm just saying, the plane didn't crash, so relative to Lost. It's,
you know, no, I'm talking about the other...
Oh, the Malaysian, yeah.
So we got stuck on this island. We had a mechanical issue in flight to Kwajalein.
And then it got us exciting, they fixed it.
And then it wasn't fixed, and they took us to the terminal.
Yes, they actually got us off the airplane after about 2.5-3 hours.
Which Kwajalein is a military installation and is a restricted area, and most people are not allowed off without... invitation to be here.
I accidentally strayed slightly, like between the orange cones, and was yelled at. So they take it. I take it very seriously.
So we get extra points for unique experiences.
Yeah,
that you'd never want to do again.
Yeah, I'm about done with unique experience. I'm ready to get to Guam.
I'm ready to get to bed and a shower.
Yes,
which is not going to happen for at least a day or two.
No, at this point we're targeting Guam at 5 to 6 a.m.
local time.
11 hours later than we're supposed to be there.
I'm slightly delirious.
6 p.m. local now there.
Something like that. 12 hours later.
Well, 6 p.m. local in Guam, as currently, budgeted or whatever, scheduled, we're still 12 hours from getting there. We left Honolulu something like 18 hours ago.
15 hours ago.
So this 14-hour trip has turned into 27. We have absolutely missed our connection to Hong Kong.
Why not?
That's an understatement.
You wanted the duck. And the remote kit.
And the remote kit.
They were clearly not worth it.
Yeah. How's that mouthwash working out for you?
I haven't opened the kit.
There's actually a $5,000 voucher inside the Lufthansa. I forgot to tell you.
So
a lusty first voucher.
Unfortunately, it requires booking by 6 p.m. local today, and there's no internet here.
And you need to take the IHOPper again.
Yeah. And Steven wouldn't do it. So if you could get, like, lusty first on the way back, you wouldn't do this again.
No.
What if you get a car transfer at all the islands?
So where?
From the plane to the holding pen? By the way, just so everybody understands, we're sitting, like, basically in a fenced-off.
In the DMZ.
It's a DMZ. We're in, like, in a fenced-off, ridiculous area. We can't really roam freely. Steven was holding his camera just because, you know, he didn't want anyone to walk off with it and was yelled at not to take pictures, even though the lens cap was on and the power was off. It's
interesting.
It's a nice breeze.
Yeah, finally, now that we're outside here, we got a nice breeze. The sun's gone down. The bugs aren't out yet. So
lovely sunset.
Yeah, I mean,
the island is lovely.
That's why we're not allowed to do anything here.
That's the part that sucks.
So
it's been an interesting experience.
Yeah.
That's all I can really say. I'm not really happy to be here.
Challenging and interesting response from United. The crew has been good. The crew here has been great.
And the local people have been great.
Yeah. We've actually, like, they've been friendly and nice and made a point of saying, like, wow, we really appreciate you guys are, like, taking this so well. Some people, people usually curse at us when this sort of thing happens. I understand. We've all been there.
When we were taken to the shack, the hut, they had Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
We crashed it a couple of times, I think.
Salvation!
Yeah, props to United's Twitter team for thanking you for getting stranded in Kwajalein. Right, Steven? Steven wrote, wow, stranded by United in Kwajalein. And what was their response? It was like,
thanks for sharing.
Thanks for sharing.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
Should have put send help.
Whatever.
SOS.
Yeah, send an SOS to Twitter and see if they respond. It's interesting. Their corporate response has been challenged. I don't know.
Well, the very fact that they never dispatched a ferry flight when they should have.
Yeah.
The corporate response.
Oh, we should mention we got to experience the emergency procedures on landing.
We did that earlier.
Did we talk about that earlier?
Did we?
Yeah, we talked about it in the last segment.
Did we talk about
that? Yeah, we did.
I'm losing my damn mind.
I can't remember.
We talked about that in the last segment.
I'm now going on.
Oh, I know what we didn't talk about is the lunch order.
Oh, that's right. We didn't talk about our lunch order. We got so distracted by our emergency landing.
The chicken sandwich. Fish sandwich.
Fresh tuna.
Yeah, Steven, you're cut off.
your arrowhead water, counterfeit arrowhead water.
I've been awake since 4 a.m. Honolulu time or something.
Yeah, we've been up for a long time.
Right? 0400?
Yeah, we're on a military base. Got to use proper timing. As we were making our final approach into Majuro, the first stop, we were chatting with the flight attendant, and he mentioned that there's a great little restaurant right near the airport that makes a fish sandwich, a grilled tuna sandwich, and that we should try it. And, you know, naturally us being us, like, yeah, of course, we can grab a sandwich real quick. Like, no big deal. And then I asked him, like, so where is this place? He's like, well, you got to go through immigration, through customs. It's just down the street and this. And I'm like, oh, so we won't really have time to get one on this layover. And he's like, nah, I don't think so. Sorry. I'm like, somewhat jokingly, like, I guess unless we call ahead, right? He's like, well, hang on a second. And he actually picked up the phone to the cockpit, called in the cockpit, and asked if they would phone ahead an order for us.
Full sandwiches?
And they did. And he asked how many we wanted. I ran through the cabin. We took orders, collected cash. It was $5 a pop. And he actually phoned down from the flight deck to the ground crew to have them phone over to the actual shop to put in an order.
For delivery?
Yeah, and then they delivered it back to the terminal. Obviously, the crew can walk back and forth through security and immigration, you know, freely. And when we got back on board, there was a plastic bag with 10 sandwiches in it waiting for us.
Yeah.
Obviously, he took the cash and, you know, we paid for it and everything, but they were pretty good, too.
Yeah, actually wasn't bad. I like the onions on it.
They were very good.
Yeah, it was, but the whole order process, I think, is just sort of one of the more surreal in-flight.
They called ahead
from the plane, like, I wonder what sat phone usage cost per minute. Now that we're stuck here for, you know, however long we've been here and, you know, held against our will, I feel a little less badly about the couple minutes worth of sat phone usage, but I don't know, is that an ACARS message you send down, or is that you pick up the phone?
Maybe an ACARS message. 12 sandwiches, please.
Yeah.
But what if you're the person on the other end, like, receiving that, like, what? Say again?
You know exactly what they mean.
Yeah, as I say, they come through here often enough, it seems like this is something they sort of know.
But that's what's interesting, though, is that we come here often enough. I know that they haven't had many mechanical problems at Kwajalein yet. This situation, the setup they have here, is less than ideal for handling an irregular ops type thing. And
yeah.
I'm sure it doesn't happen very often, but...
Yeah, of all the places to have something go wrong, this is about the worst.
Yeah.
Like what I was saying earlier, they should have a better procedure in place where they could just... It's like an emergency plan. Like they ran with the... Today, when, oh, okay, we have to run through this emergency landing procedures. I feel like for this location, the way that it's set up and how difficult it is to manage irregular ops, they need a better plan in place. I mean,
well, what it seems like is if something goes wrong here, the immediate answer should be
send
a ferry flight, get the people out, because I mean, we were all up. To be very clear, it is dark out and we're looking at the stars now, so clearly civilians are allowed to still be on the island after dark. But the myth is shattered, except for the part where even the employees here were telling us you're not allowed to be here after dark.
They're
going to put us on a ferry to get us somewhere else where there's sort of a hotel. Where they thought they might have enough rooms, maybe, which I still don't understand. They put 180 of us off off the property,
which
off
the
island or whatever.
Stephen's seatmate told us that up until this year it wasn't renovated, and there were like 2x4s holding up the ceiling or something like that. Something
crazy.
But
only 2x4s holding up the ceiling.
No, but I mean like supporting it collapsing, like from the top from the ceiling.
Like
to the
in
ground.
The middle of the floor.
Yeah, like a column, like a makeshift pad.
Someone's shooting off Roman candles off in the distance. Apparently that's legal here.
They're also telling
to help.
Yeah, someone's got a flare signaling for help to guide in our rescue flight.
They also told us that we should carry rocks in our pockets if we got off, if we did take the ferry over to the other
island. Oh, yeah, to the other island because the stray dogs that we'd have to throw rocks at to get rid of.
Yeah, because they want to eat us.
Yeah.
Or what is in our pockets.
Well, let's just make clear, no animals are harmed during the recording of this.
Yeah, we didn't make it over there to deal with the feral dogs. I think that the right answer here is if the plane is stranded here and is broken, maybe give yourself a half hour or 45 minutes, let the mechanic have one look at it, but the answer's got to be get the people out of here. Like, this is...
At least start assembling
the
departure.
Or have a boat ready to go as, a floating United Club.
To where?
No, they could just keep you offshore. International waters, casino...
I was talking to the one of the guards here. And he said,
delirious. That's a sentiment.
The guard here said... where he works at the ferry pier.
Yeah.
And he was saying that you won't see many ships out here except for the container ships and the research vessels that actually work on the island.
Really? They don't get the traveling casinos through here?
No, it's amazing, really.
Interesting story, though. I think it was one of the crew members. He said Paul Allen was recently here with his octopus. And he tried to say, he could be here. And, he was almost shot down. His battleship was almost...
Yeah.
They said that most people know to avoid the area and via boat. It's interesting.
Makes sense. I mean, the Army has made it very clear that no one's welcome here.
Yeah.
So, present company excluded, of course.
And I was told that this is one of the most important bases to U.S. security. So,
very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I got to read the local paper.
You did?
Yeah.
What's it called?
The Hourglass. And it's a nod to the Hourglass, I believe, is the symbol for, the logo for the base or whatever. Named after an aircraft carrier that served in World War II, for those of you keeping score at home. We weren't allowed to take pictures of the beautiful plaque in the lobby.
No, we were yelled
at.
Some German tourists who were also on this plane going to fly the last 744 by ANA, they were yelled at and told to delete their photos.
Well, I would imagine.
They didn't take their camera.
Yeah.
They threatened us with that.
Oh, is that what they're doing? They're doing a last ANA flight?
Yeah. They're trying to get on. I don't know if it's the last one, but they're getting on a 744 in domestic config before it's retired later this month. So,
this is a long way to go from Germany to Japan.
It's like a really great fare.
Yeah, they got a $500 one way LA Narita or LA Tokyo fare.
The Island Hopper.
Managed route via the Island Hopper.
The Foro Fukaki.
Yeah, they had a great. No. Yeah. Sendai. They had a great routing.
I'd like to see the fare basis on that.
My guess is it was, $110 plus fuel surcharge and taxes. $95? I mean, gotta remember, LA Tokyo fares have been super cheap for a long time. It was always one of the great fuel dump fares. Like, if you could dump it 100%, you could get that round trip for under $200. It was a super low base fare off season. The question is what the routing rules were and how they enforced this routing.
Yeah.
They did it. I'm impressed. I haven't asked for the full details, but I'm impressed. Also worth noting, and we'll see how this plays out, hopefully by the time I get this fully edited, obviously I'll be back in New York, or back in the United States somewhere, on the mainland.
If you find an unedited copy of this, please send help.
Yeah, we're not entirely sure where to send it, but we got,
pizza delivery was done via golf cart.
That's true. We had Anthony's Pizza. Now the interesting thing is we did actually, from the little bit of time we had with Wi-Fi, we managed to get through to the, reservation desk and get the segments we think we booked. So we'll see what happens when we get to Guam, but we think at least some of us got our flights, the aborted mess that is this itinerary, fixed. It'll be fun to claim trip in vain and see how that goes. Details to follow. We never made it to Hong Kong. We never missed our meetings.
We missed our multiple meetings.
Multiple meetings, yeah. We had both a Saturday night and a Sunday morning meeting.
Perhaps we should tell people
waiting dinner.
For us in Hong Kong that we're not going
to
make it.
Ray is aware that we haven't made it. I will make it abundantly clear to him when we get to Guam that we're really not going to make it, but he saw my post that we're late.
Well,
so
I think
sorry, right?
By the time we get there.
Yeah, it'll still be
not
12 hours before we're supposed to have dinner with him. But the other, just random aside about this sort of debacle that had become the island hopper, it used to be like, you know, sort of they put a lot of effort into sort of making sure it ran reasonably reliably. Our pilot said this is the first time in 5 years he's had a breakdown this bad. Like, maybe it was just Kwajalein, maybe it was something else, but he mentioned that it didn't usually normally seem this bad. But last Friday there was a mechanical in Majuro that delayed things enough that they missed connecting Guam for the onward connections. This week, Wednesday's flight was canceled. They put in a special section on Thursday, which got the passengers out of Honolulu, and I guess went all the way through. This is the Friday flight, which now has broken down again. They were told us it's a different aircraft, so apparently there's no one cursed plane, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
They're all cursed.
These are all pretty old planes.
Yeah. And they've been cycling through the mainland a bit recently, I think.
No, because the mainland we don't have...
Not operating them, but they've been coming back for maintenance or something. I don't know if there's a check going on. But they also do maintenance in Hong Kong, so I don't know what's up with that. But people have been seeing them show up on, like, you know, just flying into the mainland and back. So it's interesting just that how unreliable it's sort of become a little bit lately. And, you know, it doesn't seem like it's... I don't know. It's not like it's a massive failure of the fleet or anything, but there's been a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just the hopper, right? I mean, we don't pay attention to it either, but, like, you don't hear about all the Guam flights to, like, Japan. There's a bunch of those every week getting canceled or scrapped.
Yeah.
So maybe it really is just that, like, you need a mechanic to fix the stuff, and try though he did. Sherman, you know, put in yeoman's effort, but he didn't have all the parts and tools he needed to be able to fix this thing in an army base in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Interesting to see how that's developing lately with the hopper.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Ready to go home.
Yeah.
Ready to sleep in a real bed.
Yeah, that'll be nice. We're still, like, what, 48 hours away from that?
Yeah, the Westin...
Minimum.
the Westin last night or the night before, I don't even know now. It was nice. It was a nice 4 hours of sleep, I guess.
The Hyatt or the Westin?
The Hyatt. It was the Hyatt.
you guys said Hyatt Regency?
Yeah. I think that's it. I mean, should we sign off?
Yeah,
we're done.
Okay. Tell me where you can find him, Mr. Producer.
I am in the middle of the ocean currently.
Unable to post anything on your Tumblr account.
Send help. Send help. You can find me on Twitter at MundoSurfer on Tumblr and MundoSurfer.tumblr.com. I almost forgot what it was.
I'm Foz. Twitter is FozM and UPGRD.com/FozM.
Slash FozM or just Foz?
Just Foz. No, slash Foz. You're right.
All right, so, yeah. Wow, people don't even remember their own names. I'm Seth, Wandering Airman, WANDR.ME.
I'm Steven Seagraves, and you can find me at BadIce.com. Twitter at SC Graves, Point Twitter Podcast at Point Twitter. Oh, wait a second.
Wait, under attack.
No, this is the new name. Hopefully everything goes well and the Point Twitter name just switches. But we're now Dots Lines on Twitter. And more dots, more lines.com.
More dots, more lines.com.
This is the
revenue base.
The new revenue base. Dots Lines and Destinations podcast. We haven't figured out what episode number this is gonna be. We'll have to work on that.
Live from Kwajalein.
Signing off.